have your Bibles this morning, you'll notice in Psalm, Brother Scott read it, Psalm 86. I want you to notice one word this morning, and we're going to come back to it in just a minute. But in verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." We looked at compassion last week. "And gracious." We looked at that 3 weeks ago. "And long-suffering." Plenteous in mercy and truth. I want us to look at long-suffering this morning. It's a word we don't use much today, but what it actually means is that you're slow to anger. In other words, when something happens, it doesn't immediately stir your heart. You give grace. You allow yourself to give people time to change. You give people time to do the right thing. That's long suffering. You give people time to make up their mind to do what's right. Now, I want you to notice this morning, a parent has to be long suffering with a child. But there's also training that must go along with that. So if you're too long suffering, then the child takes advantage of it. Now, the God of heaven is long-suffering to us, and we take advantage of it from the first second. But I want you to notice this morning, it is the original word in the Greek text is makrothumos. It is a passion that's long passion. It's a lot of passion. Okay? So if he says, "Look, makrothumos, I'm going to give you a lot of time before I get upset. I'm going to give you time to make a decision that's right." Now, the Lord looks at everybody in this room and said, "I'll be long-suffering with you." Because it's His nature. Now, if you have your Bible, keep your finger, if you would, in this passage. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. And notice, if you would, our theme for the year is growing in grace. In other words, it's one of the characteristics of God is to grow to be like the Lord. Now, everybody in this room, you're growing and maturing, or you're digressing. You're getting more and more like the world, or more and more like your boss, or more and more like somebody in your family, or you're getting more and more like Christ. It's one of the two. There's nobody just sits still and says, "I'm not doing anything." This doesn't happen that way. So this morning you have to decide, do you want to be like the world or like Christ? Now notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." So all of us, like we're looking in a mirror, we look before the Lord and we're beholding Him in all of His glory. And I'd urge you this morning to take just a few minutes and just take a real serious look at the Lord. Number one, He's full of compassion. He loves you. Number two, He's a God of truth. He has principles He's put in Scripture that will never change. The world can change, but God does not. In Malachi chapter 3, you're going to come to, if you come tonight at 5:30, He is, "I am the Lord and I change not." But His character is long-suffering. Because He wants us to come alongside Him by choice. The reason for God's long-suffering is to give you time to make your choice. Now we're going to look at some of the choices that you have to make this morning. But you'll notice one of them, look if you would, in verse number 18. "As in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the Spirit of God, once we're saved, changes us to make us look like Christ in our character. To act like Christ in our character. To be like Christ. So we're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to take a long time before someone stirs us up. We're supposed to be patient with people. That's the Hebrew word. The Greek word is, we take our passion and hold it in. Hebrew word is, we just look at people and give them more time, more time, more time. Now, I do want you to notice this morning, if you would, what long-suffering does. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back there. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice, if you would, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. In other words, God has promised to come back to get us and take us home to be with Him. Do you understand that? God has said, one of these days, I'm going to come back to get you and I'm going to take you to heaven. Now, we're going to die and go to heaven if you've trusted Christ as Savior, or He's going to come back to get us in the rapture. In other words, there's a point in time when the Lord Jesus has a line drawn, and whenever that time comes, He's going to call all the Christians out of this world. He's going to call us to heaven. And we're going to be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to receive our rewards for doing what's right. We're going to rejoice with the Lord for all eternity. But there's a reason why He hadn't come back to get us yet. There's a reason why the end of the world has not come yet. It will. He's going to make it all brand new. I'll show you that in just a second. But there's a reason. Notice, if you would, verse 9, 2 Peter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise to come get us, as some men count slackness. Why is He delaying? Maybe He's not real. But is, here's the word, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The long-suffering of God gives you time to trust Him as Savior. The long-suffering of God gives you another opportunity to trust Christ. How many of you got saved at the first time you heard the gospel? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? How many of you heard the gospel many times before you really responded yet? Raise your hand. Okay. That is the long suffering of God. Aren't you glad He didn't give us just one chance? Now I want you to understand this. The Bible says the grace of God, His giving to us opportunity to trust Christ as Savior, has appeared to all men. But it doesn't say it happens multiple times. In other words, He said everybody's going to get one chance. Aren't you glad that He's long-suffering? And He says, you know, Dave Pittman, I remember when I first got into conviction. I went to church and I said, no, I'm not going to trust Christ as Savior today. No, I'll do it tonight when I get home. And I got home that night. I got down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I'd like to be saved. But there was no repentance in my heart. There was no humbleness in my heart. And so I just said the words, but nothing happened. All week, I mean, Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to go down front. Lord, I don't want to make a fool of myself. I don't want to embarrass myself. But Lord, I do want to be saved. And it's like the Lord went like this. Why did He give me Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and another Sunday? And so that Sunday, I sat back there and I listened to the gospel. I listened to the gospel preached and I said, oh man, and now this conviction is very heavy on me. I knew I was lost. I knew I didn't deserve to go to heaven because there was sin in my life. And if there's anybody in this room and you don't know if you're on your way to heaven, then the weight of the sin sort of bears you down a little bit and you're not sure and there's a doubt in your heart. I encourage you to come this morning and get it settled. Don't do it like I did. I sat back there and the pastor said, okay, now if you'd like to be saved today, we're going to play a verse of invitation in. We did. And I said, Lord, I'm not going today. Maybe next week. And then the Holy Spirit convicted my heart more and more. Lord, okay. And I got it down. I said, okay, Lord, I'm bargaining with God. I said, Lord, I'll do it on the next verse. And He said, let's sing another verse. And why was God long-suffering to me? One verse was sufficient. One Sunday was sufficient. But the reason God gives you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance is because He loves you, and His control of His wrath over sin that we've committed is overridden by His compassion and love for us. And that overriding your anger over sin with the love of God is called long-suffering. And everybody in this room needs it. So, time after time, and I sat there and I listened to another one, and I heard about probably four or five verses, and I was wondering, why in the world is my pastor playing so many verses in this Bible, in this service? I'd like to get this over with. And finally, I was under so much conviction. I said, hey, Lord, look. He said, look, you know, this will be the last verse. And how many ever heard me say this will be the last verse? And we played one more. You don't have to raise your hand all like that. But I'll tell you why I do that sometimes. Not on purpose. But it's that, you know, the Holy Spirit says, Dave Pittman, be a little more long-suffering. Okay. And the pastor says, okay, maybe there's somebody here needs to be said, we'll play one more verse. And it's like the Lord said, this is your verse. So the second they started to sing, I stepped out. And wow, the weight of the world was off my shoulders. And you know, the old devil said, if you go down to that front, people are going to laugh at you. How many of you have ever had that same word from the old devil? Let me see your hand. I'm going to go down front, people are going to laugh at me. Not one person laughed, they rejoiced. And I came forward and I trusted Christ as Savior only because of the long-suffering of the Lord. Now, let's read this verse. Notice verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Here's the key. But that all should come to repentance. So He wants you to come to repentance. He is going to hold off His anger over sin just for you. So today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the long suffering of God, He's extending to you, but you better be careful by taking advantage of it. There are some men in Scripture that took advantage of it and never got saved. Felix heard the gospel in Acts 24 and said, come back another day when I have more convenient season. There's no place in Scripture where we ever trusted Christ as Savior. Another one, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me, Paul, to be a Christian. But not today. That's the reason the Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace, Job 22:21. So you have to decide. But the long suffering of God is only for so long. Now, I want you to notice God is long suffering with us. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, second book of the Bible, 34 chapters in. You'll notice, now this is, let me give you a little of the scene for this chapter. Moses had the Ten Commandments in his hands, and God said, go down, those people of yours have corrupted themselves, they've made a golden calf. So Moses goes down, he destroys the golden calf, and he looks at the people of God, and he has the Ten Commandments in his hand, and he throws them down in disgust and breaks them. And I don't know about you, but I wonder what God thought about that. He throws it down, and God gave him those Ten Commandments. Had to do it again. They were written with the very finger of God. And Moses broke them because he was so angry at the people of Israel for worshiping golden calf in less than 40 days. He's up on the mountain talking with the Lord, getting the Ten Commandments for them to be able to live by and tell them that the Lord loves them, and they worship a false god in 40 days. So he throws down the Ten Commandments, goes back up. Lord, I am so sorry. And by the way, Moses exhibited compassion because he said, Lord, would you forgive Israel? And if not, would you take me instead? I would be willing to go to hell for Israel. That's the love of a servant of God. The Lord says, nope. I want you to come back up. I'll give them to you again. So he gives them the Ten Commandments again. And he goes back down. Now notice, if you would, he's up on the mountain. He's talking to Moses. And if you would, in verse number 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord meets Moses. He proclaims his own glory. He said, I'm a great God that loves you and that loves Israel. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering. Don't you know Moses said, Lord, thank you. You're going to give him a second chance. Lord, thank you. Do you realize long suffering of God gives everybody in this room a second chance? A second chance to do what? To be saved. You say, well, I've already taken that. I've trusted Christ as Savior. He gives you a second chance to grow in grace. He gives you another Sunday to say, I want to be in the image of Christ. Now, keep your finger right here and notice with me, if you would, back over into 2 Corinthians. Remember, I told you, you got five fingers, so I'm going to give you some more verses, okay? And notice, if you would, take your Bible, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. You remember, it said, changed into his image. So we're supposed to forget ourselves and be in the image of Christ. And notice how that happens. Notice, if you would, in verse number, chapter 4, in verse number 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Notice, if you would, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that's you and me. So you and I are supposed to be the image of God for people. We're supposed to be the light of the world. That's reading in Matthew 5, 6, 7. He says, ye are the light of the world. He's given you long suffering to say, will you decide to be the light today? This Sunday, will you decide to be in my image? This Sunday, will you decide to be patient with other people? This Sunday, will you desire to keep giving out a tract to someone? I know you gave them one time, and they looked at you. You've already given me one of those. So I just want you to know, I really do care about you. Here, let me give you a different one. Okay, I'll read it. Why? Not because I'm trying to get rid of my material. Because I want them to trust Christ. You have to be long-suffering with people. How many people have an issue with a family member? They're holding a grudge in their heart. They're not in the image of Christ. The gospel is hidden. Look at verse 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them who are lost. What's hidden? Our testimony. That's what he says in verse 4. That lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You and I are supposed to be the light that shines to people's hearts when we tell the truth. When we're people of character. When we love our wives, we love our children. We love our husbands. We try to love our bosses, whether they're good or bad. We try to love people. We give people a second chance and a third chance. Are you one of those people that have long suffering in your life? Look, we're to be in the image of God. We're to be like the Samaritan man walks by and sees somebody hurting. And we say, oh, he's hurting. You keep right on going. You're going to have compassion. Compassion is you see somebody hurting and you want it and you decide to help. You do something about it. That's what God did for us and made eternal life possible. But then all of a sudden, we've got a choice to say, well, he died for me, but I'm not going to accept him today. And God uses his long suffering. He says, I'll give you a second chance. I'll give you a third chance. How many of you have not taken advantage of the love of God this morning, never been saved? Or you've said, well, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to give up my cursing yet. I'm not going to give up my wrong thoughts yet. I'm not going to forgive that person yet. And God's long-suffering holds out his hand and said, today, today. Notice, if you would, verse 16 of chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So how is it you renew yourself into the image of Christ? You are every day talking with the Lord. Every day you're reading His Word. Every day you're soaking in the Word of God. Every day you're renewing yourself. The word renew is to renovate. It's to rebuild. Do you understand? Our lives have been wrecked by sin. You may look at yourself and say, well, I've got a nice suit on, a nice dress. I look nice today. But on the inside, we're wrecked. That's the reason when we get saved, we're given a new life. We're given a home in heaven. But now we have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us into His image so that our first reaction is always right. How many of you have ever been driving and somebody maybe cut you off and something rose up in your heart and said, that wasn't right? Or somebody mistreated you and you said, that wasn't right. And you begin to think thoughts about them. How many of you ever had those thoughts? Now you tell the truth this morning. Raise your hand. See there? That's what's wrong with us on the inside. It needs to be that the Holy Spirit changed us and we become like Him. Let me tell you what it comes out of me. I'm going to tell you, but I don't want you to tell anybody. Okay, just keep it quiet. When I'm driving on Route 7... and I pull over in the right lane, and there's 30,000 cars in the right lane getting ready to go up over the loop to go over on 15 going west. Okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a big loop there, okay? From Battlefield Parkway to that loop is about a half a mile. Okay? You pull over in that lane. Now, I used to take the lane next to that and go all the way down and then jump over at the very end. And you know what? I didn't expect you to laugh at it. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart and said, what are you doing, Pittman? Do you understand on your license plate it says, pray for America? I'm sorry, Lord. So the Holy Spirit works in my heart. I said, I'm going to get in line and wait. My worst word in the whole world, to wait. So I get in line, and then I'm in line, and there's, conservatively speaking, 1,000 cars in front of me, I guess, maybe. And all of a sudden, somebody goes, blows by me, and he puts on his blinker. That is... would somebody usher him out, please? So the Holy Spirit gets a hold of my heart. Because you know what? I didn't think about it at the beginning. I had things to do, places to go, people to see. I got to get it done. So I run up there and jump over and I'm trying to get done. And then the Holy Spirit touches my heart. I said, Lord, I'm sorry I'm that way. Lord, why didn't I think of that first? Hey, I used to be a coach and I used to harass the referees for a better call. I don't do that anymore because the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. Nobody here said anything about it, but it just didn't sense right to boo the referee when he made a bad call. He humanized in my heart. I said, Lord, if he's the authority in the gym, why am I? He represents you, Lord. I know he's not saved, but Lord, why? And the Holy Spirit changed my heart. You see, the flesh is in me as it is you. And every day, everywhere we go, everything we do, we're to be in the image of Christ. So your first response may not be right, but when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, how many days does it take you to say, honey, I'm sorry. I lost my temper with you and I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll work to change that so that doesn't happen again. And the long suffering of your mate says, I forgive you. I'll give you more time to change. I love you. Where is your long suffering? Like Christ. We're to be in the image of Christ. We're to be like Him. And so now, whenever the guy comes up, and I'm on the lane, I'm waiting to go around, the guy comes up and he jumps in front of me, or he jumps, you know, the other day I was proud of myself. I sat there and I hit my brakes, tapped my brakes and honked the horn so they could pull over. Then I prayed, where's the policeman when you need him? No, I didn't do that. I said, Lord, thank you. That was my first thought. That's the way I should have been a long time ago. All of us are growing. All of us should be growing in grace. But you and I both need long suffering in order to be in the image of Christ. Give people time to make the right decision. Pray for them. Show them the right decision. So all of us in this room, God is waiting for you to say, I want to be in the image of Christ. Everyone in this room. He's first saying, I'm going to give my long suffering until you trust me as Savior. But then after we've trusted Christ as Savior, say, I'm going to be long suffering. Let you choose to be in my image. Will you clean up your tongue? Let your speech be always with grace. You can say, Pastor, I'm busy. You can be like I was and not even think about it. But I'm here to tell you today, think about it. God wants you to be different. We're to be in the image of Christ. The Bible says, you'll know my disciples by their love. Where's your love? Now, lest you think, okay, Pastor, we just let everybody run all over us. We just let everybody do this, this, and this. Okay, now let me explain this to you. God is long-suffering with his saints. But if you got your Bible in Exodus 34, I think that's your third finger, if you remember that, okay? Okay, watch. Verse 6. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now watch this. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressing sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. Does that sound like God says, just do what you want, I'll give you full immunity, you can just go ahead and I'll give you long suffering for all eternity? He says, Pittman, if you keep acting like that, I'm going to bring that up in your children and grandchildren. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I don't want that. Visiting your sins to the third and fourth generation. So let me ask this question. How much do you want to change? Do you want your same sins to come up in your family? Do you want that short attitude, that sour attitude to come up in your family? There's the passage. The God of long suffering says, I'll give you grace and mercy, but I'm going to visit your sins to the third and fourth generation. So there is a line in the sand. I don't know where it is, but I know this. I don't like getting close to lines. How many have ever been, I forget where it was. I don't remember the name of it, but I remember whenever, I went someplace, maybe Chicago, the World Trade Center in Chicago. They had a big tower there. And I went someplace there or New York. I don't remember where it was. But they had this glass floor. And you were up 120 stories and you'd walk out to the glass floor and there was a rail there. Have you ever been something like that? Okay. Well, let me see what I did. I get there and then the floor would go glass and I could look down 120 floors. You know what? It was awfully hard. I looked at it and I went, whew, that's hard. It's glass that thick. It's safe. But man, it was awfully hard. It took me a while. I'd slide my foot out there a little bit, slide my foot out there. My stomach started coming up. I had a hard time getting to the rail. It was another 4 or 5 feet out there. You'd go out there and stand, look around. You're standing on nothing but glass. Oh, it just didn't feel good. Oh, as quick as I could get off, that was better. You know, I think many of you are pushing it with God. We want to get as far as we can out. We look down. Well, and I watch some people walk out there. Man, they looked at it and said, well, that's cool. Walked right out to the rail, looked over the rail. Man, I'd have been throwing up over the rail if I'd looked at that like that. Walked over, looked over the rail, I looked waiting people, turned around, went back. No way. I'm thankful that God's drawn a line in my heart that says, don't you get too close. But the long suffering of God will let you go right to the rail and actually let you step over it. But that's not what he wants. I want you to notice, if you would, Jonah, he stepped over the rail. Ananias and Sapphira, they stepped over the rail. You could go down the list of people. David stepped over the rail. I want you to notice, if you would, Hebrews 10:26. We'll close. Hebrews 10:26. You might want to underline this passage. Now, we'll start in verse 24 so you understand what he's talking about. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's Christians. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There's always been people that skip church. He said, but that's not what I want you to do. You can do it. I'll be long-suffering with you, but that's not what I want. You can't be in my image and do that. And then notice, if you would, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day's coming back to get us. Now watch this. For if we who, Christians, sin willfully, what does that mean? I don't care if I cuss a little bit. I don't care if I've got a dirty mind. I don't care if I like the wrong things. I don't care if I lose my temper. I don't care if I, you fill in the blank. I just don't like that person. You're not in the image of Christ anymore. The Lord's given you grace, long-suffering, to change. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after we see the knowledge of the truth, after we've trusted Christ as Savior, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross and pay your debt of sin again. The debt's paid. You're on your way to heaven. Watch. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which should devour the adversaries. You become an adversary of God. You become someone not in the image of Christ. And he gets angry with you and said, notice he said, the fiery indignation. He's indignant. How dare you trust me as Savior and live like you want? How dare you trust me as Savior? I've forgiven you all your sins and you still say, I want to say anything I want to say to so-and-so. I want to think whatever I want to think. God says, how dare you? His indignant anger. So today, you and I have a choice. Are you going to be in the image of Christ and forgive people? Give people a second chance? Pray for people? But show them the long-suffering of God? If you would notice, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, how much worse punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. You know, it says, whenever you and I make up our minds, I'm not going to do the right thing. I want to do what I want to do. I don't care. If I'm going to lose my temper and say a filthy word or bad word, or if I'm going to hold bitterness toward my mate, or if I'm going to mistreat my brother or sister or pay back my boss or whatever it might be. He said, if we sin willfully, he said, your debt's paid. But he said, how much more trouble do you think the guy should be in that takes the blood of Christ that saved you, wipes your feet in it? I don't care. I'm going to use God's money for myself. I'm not going to forgive Nathan Gardner. I don't care what he, I'm not going to let that guy pull over in front of me, no matter what. Wipe their feet in the blood of Christ. And God says, okay, I drew the line. Look at verse 31. So that you'll know who he's talking about. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God. And you might say, yeah, well, that's sinners. Look at the last verse, the last phrase of verse 30. And again, the Lord shall judge who? His people. So his long suffering gives you a second chance to choose to grow in grace. My question for you this morning, are you growing in his image? Or have you chosen to do your own thing? It's a choice. Folks, you better give the grace, you better give the benefit of the doubt to the Lord of heaven. He wants everybody in this room to be like him. Forgiveness, graciousness, but he wants you to do what's right. Everybody's got long suffering, but there is a line. And when you hit it, I'm going to read this to you because I told you I wasn't going to give you one last verse. Listen to this. And the kings and of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. There is a line that God says you cross it and it's too late. Today, God gives everyone in this room long suffering. Do what's right. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, you do that. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing in just a minute. If you need to trust Christ, could I urge you to come forward this morning? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not in the image of Christ. There's some things in my life that I just do because I want to. Oh, be careful. Would you come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If we sin willfully, you're still his child. But it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God. The Lord should judge his people. And maybe there's somebody you love very much and they're in harm's way. Why don't you come to this altar and say, I want to pray for so-and-so. Lord, would you continue to be long-suffering with him? Lord, help me to be long-suffering. Let's all of us purpose in our heart to be in the image of Christ. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, would you put him first? We'll not sing long. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning. Help us to choose to be long-suffering like you. And help us to choose to do what's right so that we don't presume upon your long-suffering to us. In your name we pray.